But is that only about changing the past or trying to correct a situation so that in the future there should not be a repetition of it, because people are going to be called to account? I think there's another perspective on this. It is not just about what you see as current bread and butter issues, but some of the errors and some of the behavior that we have seen in the past has implications for the future, don't you think so?
Yes, but what I find is, because I was comparing the situation to the one when Arthur came in and had the St. Joseph's Hospital inquiry. All that, to me, it does is to cause people to be more discreet and more clever in how to deal with matters if you're going to be looking at
it. So you would say ignore it? Your position is that if you believe that there have been malpractices and bad behavior in the past, you just ignore it and believe that you can walk away and go on to the next issue?
I feel that he could leave it for the government to deal with, as they have been dealing with it. And he focusing on winning his election. If you take his energy, you only got extra.
So what would he use the Public Accounts Committee for? He would ignore the use of the Public Accounts Committee altogether?
I would use it in the same manner that the predecessors used.
How?
They, to my mind, focus on the issues of the day. If you see corruption going on currently, deal with the current corruption first, and then go and deal with the past after.
Look, you know one of the subtle differences in all of this?
Yeah.
Is that if the opposition had been a DLP opposition in Parliament, chances are we wouldn't get the focus on the Transport Board that we have right now. People, based upon their past, can at times pick and choose exactly what they want to look at. And if there is the potential for embarrassment, significant embarrassment, you would not see a BLP administration in opposition focusing on their past deeds, and you will see a Democratic Labour Party administration doing likewise. Now that you have somebody who is not coming, who's coming with a new party and that sort of thing, and also he's also coming from a background of having been associated with the Barbados Labour Party, campaigned with the Labour Party and all of that. And for him, he has conceptualized this notion that we have, for whatever reason, we have to pay some attention to this particular matter, because he considers that it is significant. And I think, you know, being the opposition leader that he is and how he's become opposition leader may well influence that.
All right. Another thing then. These last week on the program, I think it was Ms. Holder that came out and outlined give a lot of information that the public needed, and we had a lot of misinformation about the buses. For example, last week, Peter Wickham was telling the world that these buses were on lease, which was totally false. And it was good that she came and clarified it. Also, that the buses had cost $30 million or something, and then the buses cost $10 million. These are things that Mr. Affley, because nobody apparently knew, Affley could have been focusing on these things so that the public get accurate information. Focus on the closest things first, and then when you got time, focus on the further thing. Now, one other thing, Mr. Ellis, I want to go back to this structure business that you were talking about with Mr. Affley, because he hedging all the time and he ain't really get into it. Why must there be a fundamental change in structure? We realize you could still get through under these current structures, because structures may not even be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have a structure and people could do whatever they feel like after they've won elections and so on. And if you notice it carefully, the ISO man who you call who ran last night to
Granville Phillips.
Granville Phillips. He came with a different structure, and the public didn't want that different structure. They're dealing with heat. So different structures ain't working. So it may be better to use the same structure But when you get in, be judged by your performance, how you actually do things. Because you could come with a new structure to capture people and still go and do things about it. You don't monitor, you don't manage properly, and corruption could still seep in. So I was saying that the real athlete should answer you was to tell you he can keep the same structure because apparently he wasn't prepared for the question. So the easiest way to answer that would be to say, I will use the same structure.
But you come across as though you are one for maintaining the status quo. You seem to be very comfortable with things as they are.
Not really.
You sound so to me.
Not really. If you look at Trump, right? If you look at America, they changed the status quo. It worked for the better. It worked for the worse.
So you will use that as the rationale for saying change nothing? Do nothing, change nothing?
No. Doing nothing and changing nothing is two different things. You have a structure. So doing nothing means don't use a structure. But I'm saying you have structures that work. They work.
But no, you say that they work. But there are people in this country who say that the structures, in many instances, are failing us because we have not upgraded. We imported stuff from the mother country before independence. Some of the laws are still there, untouched, unchanged. But so much more has happened in society. And yet we are trying to get a modern society on the basis of old structures and old systems, some of which work and some of which do not work.
What is wrong with the current structure, Mr. Ellis? What is wrong with the current structure? What's fundamentally wrong with it? Because I know what's really wrong with the structure. And who in the international world has changed? They give us these structures. How have they changed?
Well, I tell you, you remember I just told you that in this conversation, it appears to me that you are comfortable with the status quo. And there are many other people out there who say it is not working in the way that it should. Look, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
You look at what's happening in our society today, exacerbated by COVID and all of that. You look at the structure of the Barbadian society and the extent to which you're seeing a kind of rebellion that is taking place. It is not the kind of rebellion that you would normally be looking for. You look for protests and that sort of thing. But it is not playing out like that. And I'm here to be criticized, questioned, anything that I tell you, no, it is not gospel. But I just feel that what we are seeing in the communities and that sort of thing, the crime is, to my mind, a manifestation of the systemic and structural failure of Barbadian society, that we don't have a clue how we're going to fix it. And part of it is tied to the comment that was made at the very beginning of the program about the man, the fellow who complained about the demarcation on the beaches. And, you know, all of these little things come back to haunt us. It is tied to the fact that if you want to talk about the tourism industry in Barbados,
right?
You know, when you look at the structure of it, look and see who controls it and the extent to which little people in this country have to be tiptoeing on the beaches trying to earn a living, and people who have brain and who got a little bit of money still have to be struggling, and it seems as though only the established players in this game are the ones who are getting it. It is the same thing with respect to what is happening in the construction sector. People who used to be criticized before continue to appear to be the dominant players. These things come back to haunt us in ways that we don't want to contend with. So you talk about structure. That, I put to you that those are the types of things that people are complaining about.
Well, Mr. Ellis, you're going to the right place for your call. I complain. You just hear me complaining about it all the time. For one, let me deal with this one that the caller before me talk about. Oh, no, you say you read it in a WhatsApp. The treatment of people who get captured or who got catch doing irregular things, and they are high profile, how they are treated, their faces are not seen, they are hidden, and you don't hear about the cases anymore. But let the ordinary man, and he go across all the newspapers, all the media houses, and he exposed. So that is a systemic problem.
All right.
But closer now to me, why is he complaining about all the time? When we have problems like this, like with COVID right now, the hotels, the government looking for $200 million to pump into the hotel sector, who will not filter down any work to us as manufacturers. I know the last time you were on, you were saying that we couldn't furnish a hotel. You remember that in 2005, one single man who ain't even a China, Matrix, standing for furnished the whole Hilton Hotel. And Mr. The Minister of Tourism at the time, he used to be boasting, the Hilton Hotel is 100% furnished in Barbados. So I don't see why we as small manufacturers in Barbados can't get work. After, who going to pay about the $200 million? The taxpayers of this country. And yet still, the hoteliers siphoning off all the money all the time. They'll just be glad whenever they got a crisis. But them get a lot of money, grant, and live good. We can't upgrade our industry. We can't buy machinery because you can't get enough work. You can't go overseas and train and get acquire more skills. You're right, because the whole structure is, and the government don't look after us as small people. Only the big people get in the belly full all the time. Don't care what government.
Well, all I'm saying to you, sir, in this discussion is, please, if we divorce one from the other, then we are likely to miss the real picture here. And this is a situation that confronts us in so many areas. Therefore, I'm just challenging people to start thinking about how are we going to go about trying to make that difference. Trying to, first of all, do not lie down and play dead and behave as though these problems do not exist. And we should not be sitting down here waiting just for political parties and politicians to identify them, because in opposition they identify everything that is wrong, and in government they then tell you why it is so difficult to make a change. So there has to be a national discussion about this. This goes way above and beyond removing symbols. Because after you've removed the symbol, you still have to continue to do the work to bring about meaningful change. And we are not prepared to talk about it, afraid to discuss that. That's the problem. All right? Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. This person says, I am turning to your program out of great frustration and the hope that your station will succeed where calls to the Barbados Water Authority have failed. On Friday, the 24th of July, I called the authority to report a leak on the front end of the water meter at 49 Appleby Gardens in St. James. A week later, I again called. And again, 2 weeks ago, to date, almost 2 months later, nothing has happened. The water is running on the road, has gotten mossy, and is now breeding mosquitoes. On my first call, I was given a job number. That job number was 200-72-400-112. Mr. Ellis, I would appreciate your airing this message in the hope that it produces a positive result. I hope so too. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You are on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi. I am calling you to seek some advice in regards to the removal of a dead horse in my avenue. I have exhausted all contacts in terms of the fire service and the SSA, and the response that I got from them was very disappointing. It has died on an open area next to my house. The owner, I don't know, but he apparently they tied up the horse, left it there, probably didn't want it, and unfortunately there seems to be an open well, and it probably fell in, and it died, I would say, around Saturday night. And we've been trying to call to get someone to come and remove the horse from the property, but we've not been successful. I have even gone as far as contacting the nation about it.
Has it started to decompose to the point
where it's apparently it's beginning to swell.
Mm-hmm. I will have to ask someone in government to give us guidance on that, and they can talk to me directly, and then I will share that information with you.
Yes. Would you need my address?
Yes, tell me where is this?
The address is Jubilee Gap, Eagle Hall, St. Michael. This is the gap directly opposite the Eagle Hall Medical Clinic. Hmm. It's on an open area where a house used to be years ago, overrun with grass, but the person tied up the horse there for a few days and just abandoned it. They didn't give it any water or anything, and it apparently fell into a small well on the spot, and it's dead now.
Okay, well,
yeah, and I was very disappointed in the fire service. My advice from everyone was to call them, and I was told to either throw lime on it or burn it. So I'm like, so if I burn, I don't know about burning the horse. So the same way, if I burn the horse and they end up lighting up the whole avenue, I have to call the fire service.
Yes. We need to find out exactly which agency you can call to get something done about that. And you know, it can happen in any community where something like this goes on, you know?
Well, I've been advised to call the Ministry of Health, but I've been trying to reach them and still no answer as well.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can get some guidance on it, all right?
Yes, please. Thank you so much.
All right, ma'am. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, morning.
I'm rather surprised at the lack of information that some people in Barbados, they don't seek information, let me put it that way. They check the last caller. I mean, how are people allowed to get away? They don't know anything at all, shooting the mouth off. He said that when the last government were in opposition, they focused on winning the election and did not focus on the PAC. Let me just say to him, Ms. Motley is the only opposition leader in Barbados that ever delivered a report to the parliament, right? On the 4th of December 2018, the 2013 to 2018 PAC report was laid in the parliament by the way of a private member's resolution after the Stewart administration refused to accept it. They refused in 1980. She had a report from 2013 to 2018.
That's correct. On the National Housing Corporation.
Yes.
That's correct.
Correct, right? So these guys got to go and get it. Information is all over Barbados. Even yesterday when I called the calling program, when I raised the issue about Ms. Sue raising the issue, on the 19th of February 2019, during the estimates, debate. Acting Manager of Transport Board, Felicia Sue, revealed that a bus fare for the hike removes from $2 to $5.40. Right? She said it had been passed during the DLP administration. It was contained in a board's 26th statement of corporate content. Information is all out there, all around us. People are not seeking information. Even the media let go and sleep on this. I must compliment Mr. Linda Holler from the Transport Board when she called in on Saturday. And
Saturday?
On Friday. Mm-hmm. It should remind me basically when the woman was at the Belmont Craig said to the people, when he saw he at the first phone, and then he asked where her accusers. Everybody in Barbados, before getting information, all the information is there on the Transport Board website, where they come with all of the nonsense talking. Now, as far back as on the 17th of January 2019, Transport Board Chairman Mr. Gregory Nichols spoke at the courtyard by Marriott, and he touched on a couple of topics. And one, when he said that the Transport Board have advertised a tender to someone to come on board with in a PEP, with partnership with the government to write between 120 and 180 electric buses. And on and on. So that was out there. Even Miss Ola agreed to that because she said it turned out all a year ago. Barbadians have to seek information and talk. And you know what? It's important that when she came out and she spoke as well, when she said they paid $20 million for 33 buses. You know, when you do your math, that is $606,000 per bus. $606,000 per bus. I must compliment her. That is excellent. She has put the whole of Barbados and the people that who don't go and seek information on soft touch. They can't even respond. When she was there, none of them even came up to ask any logical questions. They need to go and seek the information. Information is all around us.
You know, I really want to say to you that because we have so much information around us, it is difficult for the average person, and even sometimes for the professional, to be able to zero in on all of that information from these several sources. And it is important that the people who are at the center recognize when there is a need to use different approaches to get that information to people. There is no doubt that even in this forum, there were misconceptions about what was happening with respect to the procurement, which meant that even though that information was in some places, like the website, it was not seen by a lot of people. So it means that the method that was employed was only satisfying a small group of people. So I don't understand why it is necessary to come and attack people
I'm not attacking anyone.
As far as I'm concerned, I am very glad because when I raised it, there were those who were of the view, oh, this person now trying to get the government pressure and that kind of nonsense that you hear from time to time. We're here to help. And to help the government to recognize when it is necessary to go a bit further in trying to inform the public. At the end of the day, there are some people who will listen to it and say, well, it was a job well done. And there will be others who may say, well, all the questions weren't answered. But at least we are here to help the public more than anything else. Help the public understand what's going on.
But let me praise you for that. Let me compliment you for that because they go also deal. But let me say this to you, right? I'm an ordinary person, and I just get information despite what people insist people is having me.
You're not as ordinary as all of that, though. I'm listening to you over the excuse me,
no,
sorry.
I just
about
do my research at home.
Yes, but you may have more time on your hands than other people do.
It's not a matter of time.
You're not retired.
It is, but it's not a
right
matter of time, though.
Tell me what is it, then.
A lot of people just call and
with you may not. For you, it's a combination.
For you, it's
a combination of time and interest. You know,
right.
You may also derive a high degree of satisfaction from being able to look for information and to store that information.
If you're informed, right, you can only make an informed comment if you're informed. So people is coming shoot the mouth off. I will not shoot my mouth off unless I'm sure all of the government agencies you can access. Even I remember on the first time you just be hearing me as us. You just be, you know, people ask me where you get my information. I get the information from the same VOB, from the same nation, from everywhere. But what I find in Barbados that I am disappointed in, the major radio stations are dealing with too much banter, and people are queuing too much banter.
Banter? We're talking about banter about what?
Banter about what? From the time the radio station opens in the morning, the time it goes off at night, people all over Barbados, all the radio stations, send it out. Look, up there, a lady called a station and sent a birthday greeting. She said, I spoke to the person earlier this morning, but I want you to bring your birthday greetings to me. That is a call that you could call the person at home. That's a personal call. That's up in the radio.
But I understand your criticism, and you know, people who sit in that position really have to be cautious that they don't rely so much upon the birthday greeting. There are techniques that can be used where those birthday greetings can be transformed into what you may consider to be something a bit more meaningful. And that is something that we discuss from time to time. It's something that broadcasters need to pay attention to. But you still have an element. You still need an element of that to stay in touch with your community. So it's a question of balancing it and recognizing how to exploit it. Having said that, this must also be borne in mind. The person who is functioning as an announcer on a radio station like this one has far more to do, especially in drive time and prime time, than an announcer had to do years ago. In the past, you know, let me tell you. Because they have to function now in combined roles. And on top of that, the flood of information isn't only coming from the telephone anymore. It comes from the phone, it comes from WhatsApp, it comes from, you know, all of these other sources. So they kept really, really busy. So that may also play a role in why you believe that you are hearing all of this banter, while at the same time they're trying to keep a certain involvement with the community.
Well, you could try to fool me. Listen, right? Let me give you some compliments on some of the stations behalf. So I don't listen extensively to 104 B. I don't listen. Really, I don't listen to many radio stations in Barbados for a long period. But they have excellent announcers. They have better announcers than VOB. In fact, VOB, between you got what? The youngster in the morning. But VOB 104 to do a good job.
All right.
Now, when I speak.
Why you don't call me? Listen. The conversation.
You'd always be telling me this.
You know, the conversation really is. This is a different kind of conversation, which I must tell you.
No.
Let me just make the point.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bury our heads in the sand. We have to listen to feedback. We then have to assess whether that feedback is valid or not so valid. But I don't want you to believe that we can shut you out of the picture. And whatever we can do to encourage people like you to give us the feedback, because I think those of us who work on air need it. So I would prefer to discuss this with you separately, so that, you know, we don't take up all the time here on Brass Tacks looking at
that. No, I was just getting the reasons why people aren't informed.
I don't think
the radio stations in Barbados are informed enough.
Okay, well, fair enough. But talk to me separately about that. so that we can better assess, you know, how we go forward, because there's no perfection. There's always a need to respond to the society's needs and to find new ways of doing that. Okay? Thank you very much. Hello, this person says, concerns with the proposed teaching plan for September 2020. The plan is to repeat term 2 of the last school term. This term 2 was repeated already during the term 3 of the school year, says the writer. So the children will definitely be behind in schoolwork. A point was made that the COVID-19 didn't cause any real challenges for the 11 plus exam, which is true, because they were generally prepared for the test and they got extra time to prepare. The challenge now comes with the next class 4 and the ones who are going into class 3 now, because they are truly behind in work and learning new topics and concepts. What are your views? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Speaking to a structure, something that Mr. Attlee said that he would take up 2.5 years ago. The one main change that needs to be made in this so-called governance model that we have is the power of the Prime Minister to call an election. I mean, I cannot understand why this does not take headline focus every year. I mean, I understand all the glamour is taken up, or maybe political parties should be, like any other company, be registered and be able to present, you know, source and application of funds. Yeah, Mr. Murray, you're 20 years behind the time. You take that and you run with it. All I want to do is to find out why it is that the power of the Prime Minister to call an election is not a big deal. Why can't that's the whole big men and women could let that happen? Election after election. You could go and you could spend $8 to $10 million to hold and bring in money from overseas if necessary to hold a general election. And in comes this man or woman with the power to say, well, you know something, I don't like the way things are, I'm going to call the election next week. Simple. Man, she could call, or is she now? She can call the election next week. And there's nothing one could do about it. I get it. You know, I don't want you in my cabinet, you go. I don't like the way it's being. I don't like the way these prime ministers deal with ministers. That is true. I mean, I'm not a big fan of ministers either, but I think if you got to deal with adults, you're supposed to call them one side and fire them one side. Don't do it in public. I mean, that's ridiculous, but that apparently is a cultural thing. But, okay, you want to change a cabinet, that is fine. But you can't go and change a government just so. I mean, you had a situation where a prime minister was voted, lost a no-confidence motion, and he decided, well, I don't like the way this turn. I can shut everything down, pull up the stamps and go home. And that don't offend, does that offend you, Mr. Ellis, that somebody can have that kind of power? Yeah? You don't think that at least the Barbados deserve to have minimum 5 years. If you want to make it 4 years, the United States, fine. But there should be a date set. You had the last prime minister decide, look, he can wait an extra 3 months or 3 or 4 months before he call an election, because if he could have waited a whole year, look at the one in Guyana, but he didn't want to call the election. I mean, this is madness. Nobody should have that kind of power. You got big men and women working under you. Big men and women, all kinds of degrees and stuff. And you can say, well, one day, look, I can pull out these stamps and I want to get home. I mean, these people got voted for, you know. They got voted for. This should be the number one structural change that should occupy your memory until it happens. There is anybody in Barbados should have that kind of power. You can come and you can change calling a general election just so because you feel. Or you can take another extra 10 months to do so. I mean, why can't Peter Wickham take this up and make it, bring it home, hammer it home? Next general election will be called the 25th of May. 2.5 years from now, and there's nothing this Prime Minister could do about it. Why can't this not be a thing that Mr. Attlee takes up? I mean, that is the single most fundamental change. Because when you have the power to determine whether or not a parliament will exist, men will keep them out shut. And women will keep them out shut. They ain't going to challenge you. Not on either side, they ain't going to challenge you because most people waiting to get a little, the retirement thing, government pension. So once you've got the power to decide that will not happen, man, they're going to keep quiet. So you have got so much power, now, the people who have been put in the position to speak on issues are not going to say anything because this one person has that kind of power. And I'm thinking, if you want this democracy, and I'm not a big fan of democracy, make no mistake about it, I think it's a fraud of a system. But this thing called democracy is to have any kind of true effect. That one power must be removed from the Prime Minister. She or he must no longer be able to call a general election willy-nilly.
Okay. Thank you very much. This person says that if you go past the Met office, right outside of the Venezuelan project, there's this burst main under the road, and it has been there like that for approximately 9 months. They say that this matter was previously brought to the attention of the Barbados Water Authority and the Member of Parliament for St. James South. Something needs to be done urgently, as the moisture is now seeping above the road. It is deteriorating, and this can cause serious problems with traffic that is heavily traversing the road. It could probably develop into a major sinkhole. So that's another complaint here for the Barbados Water Authority. But the woman who called about the remains of this horse, somebody is saying that you should try the animal control unit for the removal of dead animals, the animal control unit. So try that and let us know what kind of result you get. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, hello? Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, please.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
I am making my contribution. I am not taking up for anyone, but I am just saying what is justice or what is right that I feel. The issue, they're talking about the buses coming up empty now that they got the new buses, and the issue about when they didn't get in the buses. I would like to say on this part, the problem is not that they ain't carrying a body. Remember, real people were laid off from work. That's number one. So you won't get the flow like before. You understand?
Yeah.
Number two, the children are on vacation. When school open back up, you can see the vast difference. There's a blessed thing that Transport Board authorized those people with their buses to work on behalf of Transport Board. And that was really a great help. So I just want people to know, you can't criticize when you ain't getting, and now you're getting, you're criticizing, but we all have to be thankful. You watch and see when school open back, what's going to happen?
You're hearing a lot of that criticism.
They're going to still be for the people. But vacation, you usually don't get no crowd in the vacation. So that's all I would like to say. Please, give the Transport Board a chance. And the workers got to realize that what go for one, go for all. You would like to know that you did, so you're not in the heart. Business is an all sorts of thing. Right now, they ain't making the money. So Transport Board is just a business, too. I would also like to say that the drivers that came in with the augmentation with their buses to work for Transport Board, they do a wonderful job. A wonderful job that does. But they don't play the music. If they do play music, they play it low. They drive very careful, that's the truth. They drive very careful, all of them. And we Transport Board drivers, you may get one or two that may be a bit funny, but they just work good too. So I complimenting the Transport Board for the job they done, and thanks for our electric buses. Never was driving so good.
All right, ma'am.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much as well. Down to Brass Tacks, hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
I am looking at the road, and what I am seeing daily, people are setting up business all along the roadside, even on the highways. And there's a section there from Kendall Hill to Graham Hall roundabout. The layabout is very narrow. The fellow started selling coconuts down there. It's about 75 yards from that roundabout. And people park the cars there, and it's two lanes on the outside. When you come down with the two lanes, people are walking from just behind their cars and walking into the lane. and it's only a matter of time before we get a serious accident happening around there. I think what should happen is that all these people that want to set up by the side of the road, they should get MTW and the police to issue a permit for these people. Otherwise, we can have some serious accidents. Especially even the guys running all in between the cars around the boats trying to offer things for sale. Very, very dangerous.
But the question is, where will the authorities draw the line when it comes to businesses on the highway? It looks like it's a free-for-all right now.
Well, you know, people can come up with this thing, the poor black man, but, you know, if they say black lives matter, it's only a matter of time before, you know, a lot of black lives not going to matter.
Well, all types of businesses seem to be setting up on the highway. It's not just coconut vendors, it's melon sellers. You know, one day I expect that we're going to have clothes being sold along the highway as well. It would be one great bazaar.
Well, I have seen people selling eggs and plants and all kinds of things.
All sorts of things. And, you know, there was a time when people warned about it, but I suppose you will also hear that COVID has knocked out a lot of people when it comes to employment, and therefore people got to live. So that's the other side of this argument that you hear. As it relates to the safety concerns, quite possible that some car can run off the road and hit some people, but rest assured that the next week they're going to be back there buying and selling.
But as Wade said, they should have a permit, and if they don't have a permit to be at, you know, at the side of the road, you know, so I don't see any more.
The question is, there were supposed to be these areas, designated areas along the highway, where people could just come off the highway itself and go into those areas and purchase items. The government has just done something down there with Brandon's. Thank God they have eliminated that eyesore on Cheapside that was supposed to be temporary and seemed to be permanently temporary.
Yeah, that ran for about nearly 5 years.
What, 5 years? What? That went on for so long? You making sport? No. Exactly what they have done there is perhaps what needs to be done along the highway, the ABC highway. And that may well be the answer to it, so that the vendors are not on the road, you know. There are areas that are set aside for that, so that we don't expose them to danger, nor the people who go and buy from them. And I think that perhaps is the answer, while at the same time, satisfying the demand to create opportunities for people who are going to become more involved. You know, I mean, since this COVID experience, there has been an upsurge in the number of people who are selling vegetables, not only along the road, but outside their homes and that sort of thing. So that too could help create additional opportunities for those people. I hope that we can get to that stage.